you would be mindful of the fact that God, as to his person, is one in essence, being, nature, one God. That one God is uniquely the only God, and that only God, without him helping us, we don't know how to address, how to honor, how to understand him. And he helps us. He's given us his word so that we can understand God and his wonderful oneness. Is at once God the Father, is at once God the Son, is at once God the Holy Spirit. Three persons, all one, just one. Wow. And all of creation, there's nothing anywhere that doesn't reflect God's wonderful, wonderful creativity and his awesome power everywhere in anything. I don't know what you want to study in detail with microscope and telescope and not discover it. A world upon a world upon a world. And only God can do thousands and thousands and millions and trillions of particles of dust. And all of the dust has life in some form in and around it. Wow. God. So God, God the Father, how do we honor this God, one in essence, nature, being? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. God has, in order for us to appreciate, appropriate, exercise God, God has made it so we are to know him. We are to know God the Father by way of the person and work of God the Son, by way of the wonderful ministry of God the Holy Spirit, all of which God's word, all points to the Father, so that we can singularly understand God's unique being. He is the Father. The first two letters of the Hebrew alphabet, Aleph and Beth, Av, Father. And thus, Father, the begetter, the primary regenerator, the creator, the one who brings into being, the benefactor, the Father, the caretaker, the supporter, all of those words, long and many. Father, everything needs a father. Everything needs to be created. Everything needs a founder. We have the founding fathers, our country's founding fathers. We have the church founding fathers, apostolic fathers, as it were. So now, in order to get that, of the very large subject and a wonderful subject in a little way. Would you, God, wanted all humans to enjoy his wonderful person? Adam and Eve's sin stopped that. And so God in his wonderful kindness chose Israel to be a example, a testimony, a light to all of the nations, so that they could know God. They chose religion and politic, Genesis 11, a tower and a city. They chose that over God. God is gracious, kind, merciful, and he died for the sin of the world. So he is very patient to give each opportunity as he sees fit to know him. Now, Exodus chapter 4, Israel, in order to take a little exercise, God raised up Israel, and 400 years, etc., all that stuff, and raised up Israel. And in the process, in seeking to have Israel exit Egypt to go to Mount Sinai, where God would introduce himself to them. And in Exodus chapter 4, he reminds Moses to remind the people and to remind Pharaoh. Chapter 4, Exodus, verse 21. And the Lord said unto Moses, when thou goest to return unto Egypt, see that thou do all these wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put in thine hand. But I will harden his heart, that he will not let the people go. Thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. Verse 23, I say unto thee, let my son go, that he may serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn. So Pharaoh is put on notice that God, Israel, is a son. Therefore, you say son, you have to say father. In order to have a son, you must have a father. That's the rule. And you can't violate that rule. And so in the light of that, so in over, if you would now, to tie that together, I son, Israel is my son. I have chosen them to know me. How? As a father. As a father. How does a father know them? As a son. A unique, personal, wonderful relationship to God. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 32. In Deuteronomy chapter 32, the end of the Exodus and before they go into the land of Canaan, Deuteronomy chapter 32, please, picking up, if I can, in verse 5. Do they have corrupted themselves, this is Israel, they have corrupted themselves, their spot is not the spot of his children. They are a perverse and crooked generation. They have failed to honor God and his creative, redemptive, saving grace. They have corrupted, the verb is intensive, they have corrupted with great zeal. They have corrupted, they have corrupted in verse 5 themselves. Thirdly, their spot. And the word spot means a defect, an oath, to swear, to make something very clear, to make something very certain. And thus the spot, that identification mark. They violated their oath to be the children of God. They are not exercising, they have not exercised these 40 years to be my sons, to be my children. They have spent 40 years under my wonderful hand, cloud by day, fire by night, and they have not honored me as their father. They have not done that. Now, and in the light of that, as his children, and thus in verse, they are a non-son. They have no God, and they are no son, they have no relationship. Verse 21. They have moved me to jealousy with that which is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their vanities. I will move them to jealousy, 32:21. Move them to jealousy with those which are not a people. Israel was the people. The rest are just a whole lot of people and nations that are no nations. They're all going to disappear. Ultimately, with which, verse 21, and to me, in verse 21, and to me, anger with their vanities. I will move them to jealousy with which are not a people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. I'm going to go and awaken them, the Assyrians, the Babylonians, Titus, Rome, 70 AD. I'm going to awaken them. I'm going to give him time and space, but I'm going to have him wake up. Israel as a nation is chosen by God to be the nation to all the nations, for all the nations of the world. Now, in the light of that, so that they identify, the identifying mark of relationship is missing. You should be a son. Son means they have a father. You see the son, you look for the father. The identifying mark, sonship, among other things, is missing. They aren't sons. They are not my sons. Now, having said that, Deuteronomy chapter 32, and picking up, if I can, verse 6, 32 and 6. Do ye thus require the Lord, O foolish people, reward, require? Do you thus require reward the Lord, O foolish people, and unwise? Is not he thy father that hath brought thee? Hath he not made thee and established thee? Remember the days of old, the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee, thy elders, and they will tell thee. Verse 8. When the Most High divided the nations, Genesis chapter 10, when the Most High divided the nations, their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. Verse 9, for the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the Lord of his inheritance. Israel was to be in the land of Palestine. That was God's purpose, program, his testimony to all of the nations of the world. And when God, all the nations went everywhere, Israel was marked out and had a little sign, this land, Palestine, belongs to Israel. Even though others are there. Now, having said that, and they're missing sonship, would you go over with me, please, to Isaiah chapter 63. Isaiah chapter 60. We're going to move through time. And in Isaiah chapter 63, picking up, if I may, remember looking to God's constantly dealing with Israel. Isaiah is going to see the Assyrian captivity, and afterwards he's going to still be alive. Isaiah chapter 63, looking, if I can, in verse 6, Isaiah 63, 6. I will tread down the people in mine anger. I will make them drunk in my fury. I will bring down their strength to earth. I will mention the loving kindness of the Lord and the praises of the Lord according to all that the Lord hath bestowed on us, and the great goodness to the house of Israel, which he hath bestowed on them, according to his mercies, according to the multitude of his kindnesses. For he said, surely they are my people, children that will not lie. So he was their Savior. In all their affliction, he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. God's in his grace saved them all the time. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them, and he bare them and carried them all the days of old. For they rebelled, verse 10, and vexed his Holy Spirit. Therefore he was turned to be their enemy, and he fought against them. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, going to verse 16. Having that in mind, God was kind and gracious. The people were not responding. God had a wonderful plan anyway. So now we come to chapter 63, verse 16. I need verse 15 to tie that together. Look down from heaven, behold the inhabitant, the habitation of thy holiness and of thy glory. And where is thy zeal and thy strength, the sounding of bowels and of mercy toward me, and are they restrained? So here's Jerusalem. That's where God is to rule and reign. That's where Israel is to trust God. And that's where the wonderful light is going to shine forth for the world. Now, verse 16. Doubtless thou art our father, though Abraham be ignorant of us, and Israel acknowledge us not. Though, O Lord, art our father, our redeemer, thy name is from everlasting. God, you are our father, even though we're stupidly moving and not acknowledging it. Over to chapter 64 in Isaiah, continuing our thought. 64 and in verse 7. There is none that calleth upon thy name that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. For thou hast hid thy face from us. Thou hast consumed us because of our iniquities. But now, O Lord, thou art our father. We are the clay, and thou art potter. We are all the work of thy hands. God, here we are. We're to have a wonderful saving relationship to you, to be a testimony to the world. But our unbelief blocks such a relationship. God, it just isn't there. It will be there, Jeremiah chapter 31. Jeremiah chapter 31, picking up, if I can, in verse 9. I'm even going to read verse 8 again for a little bit of the context. 31, Jeremiah, verse 8. Behold, I will bring them from the north country, and gather them from the coasts of the earth, and with them the blind, the lame, the woman with child, and her that travaileth with child together. A great company shall return thither. God, you're going to go after judging them, scattering them, Assyria, Babylon, Titus, all over the world. You're going to go and gather them. Verse 9. They shall come with weeping, with supplications will I lead them. I will cause them to walk by the rivers of water in a straight way, wherein they shall not stumble. Why not? For I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. God, you're honoring that wonderful commitment you made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to even Adam way back before that. You're honoring that commitment. He is. He is. Wonderfully honoring his commitment to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And they're going to be, I'm the father. I'm the source of Israel. Where did Israel come from? God. Everything has to have a source. God, the creator, is the source. God, the creator, is the redeemer. And therefore, we have man's idolatry to work with, unbelief, and we have Satan's theology, man's idolatry, Satan's theology. Satan tells man how to think, and we aren't going to believe, so we're going to get given all kinds of information, thoughts, experiences to go to anything, everything, anything except God. Wow. So now, having said that, over if you would, please, over to Psalm 78. You read it. We're just going to stop on our way. Psalm 78. And you are familiar with such. I'm going to go directly to verse 3. Which 78, 3. Which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord, his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob. He appointed a law in Israel when he commanded our fathers that they should make them known unto their children, In other words, they were to communicate the wonderful, wonderful relationship based on God's saving grace, based on God's word, based on their history. They were to communicate that, but they didn't. They didn't do it. We're Jews, and our God, the God of Moses, the only God there is. But what happened to our sonship? Where's our sonship? Where is our sonship? Missing. Missing. If it was there today, Israel would be in a whole different place. You realize that? Wow. So now, having said that, and keeping that, and we're in a day now, society, we have, remember the book written a long time ago, society without a father. So the government takes over being a father, which is what its goal is. And it's being stirred by the gay homosexual agenda, you know, and have a what? A fatherless society. Fatherless for all practical purposes. And you don't have to go too far with that to think about it. And thus, the source, the origin, the relationship in time is to who? To what? In time, to time, in the light of eternity. How do we answer it? Without you, God. You can't answer it. All the religions in the world can't answer it. All the philosophy in the world, all the opinions in the world. There's nothing answers it. Tomorrow, you're in the casket, you drop dead. How do you answer that? How do you go past that? You can't go past. All you can do is look at the corpse. You can't go past it. There's nowhere to go. There's nowhere to get to. God without you. And so the system leaves us without, practically, Israel, it left them with practically without a father. And the father's meaningful, wonderful, intended value and relationship required the wonderful movement of giving of his son. Genesis 3:15, the seed of the woman. Over to John chapter 14 for a moment. John chapter 1 and verse 14. John chapter 1 and in verse 14. And you would recall from our study, John chapter 1, verse 14, and the Word, verse 1, chapter 1, 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Verse 14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So God, how are you going to express yourself in your Son? In your Son. Well, we can't. God, your Son. God the Son is co-equal, co-eternal. He's God. He's you. Ah. But my Son is going to do something wonderful. He volunteered to pay the penalty for our sin. And Christ, born in Bethlehem of Judea, the God-man, God the Son, in perfect humanity, the perfect humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ, comes for what? God said, I'm going to help you. I'm going to give my Son. What for? To know who I am, Father. I'm giving my Son to get to me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man, woman, boy, or girl cometh unto the Father except what? By me. What's your whole job, as it were, ministry, to know you? Ah. And thus, just going a little bit further, if I can, sliding down to verse 18, no man has seen God at any time. the only begotten Son, the unique, one-of-a-kind Son, which is in the bosom, the inner guts, the heart, lungs, the inside, inner bosom of the Father. God the Father expresses himself in God the Son by way of God the Holy Spirit, his wonderful person, God, infinite, eternal, immortal, wow, never changing. We're in his presence. And how do we know God? How do we talk to you? You're going to talk to me in a unique and wonderful way to have a relationship. I am the Creator. I have begat you. I have made it all happen. I want you to know me as the source, as Father, my Father. Now, having said that a little bit, over if you would please, to John chapter 16. John chapter 16. And you would recall John 16, picking up, if I may, in verse 27. I read in the context. In that day, 27. I'll read verse 26. In that day you shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me, and have believed that I came out from God. Verse 28, I came forth from the Father, I am come into the world again, I leave the world and go back to the Father. It's all about coming to grips with God, and that's why you sent your only begotten Son to die on Calvary's cross so that we could know you, the Creator, to know where on earth we came from, why are we here, where are we headed. God, you are the key. You care, you love, you create, you provide, you protect. I'm the Father, he said. Father, Father. John chapter 8. John chapter 8, picking up, please, in verse 17. As it is written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness with me. So the two of us are telling you it's two witnesses, couldn't get any higher, any better. We're telling you this is true. Now, in light of that. And, verse 19. Then said they unto him, where is thy Father? Jesus answered, ye neither know me, nor my Father. If you had known me, you should have known my what? How can you know the Son without knowing the Father? You can't be a son without having a father. You can't do it. You got to have a father. See? If you knew I was the Son of God, then you would know God the Father. Now, if I can, verse 20. These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple. And no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Slide your eye over, if you would. Picking up in verse 26. I have many things to say to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not, they didn't understand, that he spake to them. What have you been trying to tell? What are all the words about? I'm trying to get you to understand the Father. Verse 28. Then said Jesus unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, Calvary, then shall you know that I am in the Father, and that I do nothing of myself, but as the Father hath taught me, I speak these things. He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. And so I know my whole business as a son is to show the Father in a most wonderful, unique, personal way. And thus, dear friends, over, if I can, picking up, just a little, verse 39. Then they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. You would have evidence that you believed, like Abraham did. Verse 40. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have of God, which this did not Abraham. I'm a special in a special place. Verse 41, you do the deeds of your father. Then said they unto him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. And Jesus is going to correct that. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded from and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. For he was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it. You are of your father the devil. You aren't looking for God to be your father. You're looking for the system to be your father. You're looking for your safety, security, survival, comfort from the system. You're looking at yourself and the system. You aren't looking to God. You aren't looking to God. You believe the devil's lie, his theology, that we are all right in and of and by ourselves. And of course, that is not true. Thus, chapter 10, and may I go to verse 30, as you know. The Lord Jesus, no one can pluck them out of my Father's hand. Verse 29, my Father which gave them me is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my hand. That's if you're saved, believer, trusting God. And verse 30, God makes it clear, I and my Father are one. So, when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, then of course you're going to know the Father. And you're going to know the Son. So you are wonderfully, wonderfully equipped and ready to honor God. So now, if you would, over to Ephesians chapter 1. So here we are, believers, able to believe, able to be believers in God, trusting God. And God, and the relationship, as you know, the relationship, Israel was as a son, father, the nation of Israel, the nation was a son, Israel is a son. When it comes to the church, now, in this age of grace, we are not a nation. We belong to the body, a unique personal relationship, as your head is part of the body. Your body belongs to the head. Christ, the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry, is to give us a unique personal relationship to God in Christ as a body. Body, head. Christ the head. And that unique relationship involves being a son. Not as Israel, as a nation. As part of the body, a unique personal relationship as a son. Now, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17, the prayer. And that God, the God of our Lord, Ephesians 1:17, that the God of our Lord, Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation of the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you might know what is the hope of his calling, what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. God has done something wonderful. God is showing his grace in such an amazing way. We sing Amazing Grace. We sing it. And we are as sons, Now, to do that in just one little way, over, if you would, please, to Galatians, right just ahead of this. Galatians chapter 1. And in Galatians chapter 1, little sequence, you'll have it. Paul, remember the Galatians are struggling. If you don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're all set. You don't have to be saved. But, Galatians, if you get saved, I can't stop that. I can't get you unborn. But I can certainly mess up your life so that you never enjoy being saved. You never enjoy being a son. Never. You live your whole life just like Israel, never being a son. Wow. Now, Galatians 1, Paul being saved on the Damascus Road. And remember, if I go made directly to verse 15. And when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, God, what did you do? You had Paul believe? Uh-huh, Paul did believe. And what happened? To reveal his son in me, that I might preach of him among the heathen, the Gentiles. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. I understood I met Almighty God in the person of his son. That's what I did. Now, chapter 2. When you come to know the Lord as your Savior, what are we going to do? I am crucified, 2:20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I have a unique relationship as a son, And that relationship as a son is to be enjoyed and exercised because being a son. So therefore, chapter 4, verse 4, God, you said it. You're going to say it to them clearly. Chapter 4, verse 4, verse 6, verse 5. To redeem them that were under the law, 4, 5. To redeem them that were under the law, that purpose you might receive the adoption of sons, placed as sons in all of the privileges. And because you are sons, our sons now, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts. And what is the whole relationship? Believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry, that we're able to say the end of verse 4, Abba, Father. When you get saved, what is the most wonderful thing? Father. Father. Did you get saved? My Father. Ah. Now, hang on. And, verse 19, you need to develop that. If you don't develop it, then you don't enjoy it. My little children, verse 19, 4 and 19, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. And you want to be not hung up by the devil's hoodwinking, the system, Judaism, and everything else. You're losing the privilege of being a son. Well, you do this and you have that and you understand this. All of those things are good, but you want to be a son. You want to enjoy being a son. And when you were little, some of you were little now, but little. You had someone taking care of you. I used to say father and mother, but I can't anymore so much. Used to have someone taking care of you, and they took care of you. Did you understand your relationship to father, mother? No. Nope, you just had your diapers changed and fed, and you wailed when you wanted attention, and you cried, and you got it. Now, but God, we have to grow. You had to grow up. You grow up and you learn. I'm an adult, etc., etc. And I have a relationship. Mom, dad, And mom and dad, fifth commandment, thou shalt honor thy father and thy mother. What's the fifth commandment? Understand where you came from. I came from father and mother. And father and mother make it, why father and mother? I'm not an it. I'm not an accident. I'm for real. I had a father, a creator. And that is the bridge, the Exodus 5:12, the fifth commandment, to get to God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. How do I get to God? I understand I'm a human, and I have a father and mother. I'm not a giraffe. I'm not a cabbage. I'm a human and a father. And that immediately helps me for God to deal with my head and heart, that I need the father of my father is God, the father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Wow, as it were. So now, in the light of that, I need to have that and to develop that. And if I don't develop it, it won't go. And if I do that, then I'm going to lose out. Now, in order to, over with me, please. Our time is gone. I think our time is gone. Time is gone. 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, if you would. Chapter 6. 2 Corinthians in chapter 6. And if I may, chapter 6, picking up, please, I'm going to give a little context, verse 17. Wherefore, come out from among them, the wrong, don't be caught up in the unbelieving and idolatry and all kinds of relationships that rob you of being a son. That rob you of being a son. Don't do that. Don't. This is religion and that religion and this and that. It'll rob you. I'm a son. Straightway. Because of the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, come out from among them, be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. So I need to honor God. I need to not be children. I need to develop and grow. I need to grow up. And when I grow up, what am I going to find? When you grew up, what did you find? As a little one growing, 5, 10, 15 years old. Verse 18, And will be a father. God said, I will be a father unto you. And ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. A unique personal relationship to God. A wonderful relationship to God. Not only in position, but in practice, to be able to enjoy God's exclusive right to you because of the death of his son. He bought you with a price, with his precious blood. And do you know how wonderful that is? Now, in the light of that, and I wish I time, you know, June 6th passed yesterday here, a week ago or so. And June 6th was D-Day, 1944, when the combined Allied forces landed at Normandy and all of that. And when they did, a great account was written of that day, written by Yale Kramer, giving a write-up of that special time, that special day. And in the special day, he tells about the generation of people. I know that some of you were there. I know that generation from alive. I was alive, etc. I would have gone to war if I had lived a little longer. Wow. Do you know it's called the greatest generation? It is the greatest generation. And the reason, among other things. They had courage, honor, duty, loyalty, comradeship. They understood what our country was about and why we were here. They understood that. And there wasn't a blinking of an eye, I know. There wasn't a blinking of an eye of those that went to serve. And remember, President on Sunday announced we're at war. Pearl Harbor is bombed. Wow. And they lined up. They lined up to join. Wow. Now, do you know, here we are, and we are taught today, and here, young people, you're there. I'm not there. I don't have the system. I'm out of the system. I don't want the system. But you're under it and in it. You're taught not to be competitive. Don't be too aggressive. Don't be too ambitious. Don't want power. You're taught to disavow your natural discomfort about homosexuality, your natural discomfort, and to disavow the importance of the so-called manly virtues. Therefore, as childish or adolescent, in other words, the manly virtues that we say, man, be boys, boys, they're out. Don't you think that way. Don't you think, man. And if you don't understand being a man, how can you be a son? If you take that away, and I'm raised in the We're raised in this generation. And that's the difference between Normandy and now. A whole nother world. And we're taught to be, stoops. We're taught to be awful stupid about being alive. And that is the problem. Magnified 100 times in every area. Sex, women, now, all the different things going on, because there is a great frustration. We have abandoned the very things that at least sent us in the right direction so that we could be sons, sons. And as Israel, so we go down the tubes. Now, you know, God, in his great kindness, gave his son. Now, God, what do you want of us? Great conquest? Alexander, Caesar, Napoleon? No, you didn't ask any of that. No, you didn't. It doesn't say anything about that. Intellectual, Socrates, Plato, Aristotle, science, understanding. Did you ask me to be intellectual? No, you didn't do that either. Physical stature, blood, brains, brawn, beauty. Wow. No, you didn't ask that. You didn't even talk about that. You didn't talk about anything. Here's our world, and taking away from us everything we should have, could have, as an America, and in the process, leaving us bankrupt, and then we can't even think like you want us to think, because the world, the devil's theology, et cetera, has robbed us and ruined us and taken away being a son. God, what do you want me to be? I want you to play the man. I'll say it another way. I want you to be my son. Is that hard? I have to do it. No, that's what the father is. The father has a son to appreciate and enjoy who he is and what he does. And so, God, if that's all you want me to be, a son, isn't it? That's what he wants. That's all. Wow. You need to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. What does he do? He saves your soul 1,000,000%. And he grants you a very personal, unique relationship to be a son. In this human body of flesh, a son. This body of dust, to be a son. And all the angels, good and bad, in our presence, more or less, always in their presence, a son. A son. What are you? I am a son of God because of the Son. And God has placed me in the head, Christ the head, the Son of God, the Son, T-H-E, the Son of God, has placed me in his body as a son, in the Son, body, head, the Son, so that I can what? I can honor you, my Father. Thank God for fathers and mothers and carers and people that are concerned. Thank God. None of them replace God the Father. All of them should remind us there is a wonderful, something wonderfully more and better in time, on time, in the light of eternity. And that's you, God, here and now. Wow. My Father. Our Father and God, we thank you that we can bow head and heart in your presence to deal with us, young and old, little. God, help us not to get so swept away with the movement as it seeks to take all away, any hope, any help of knowing you, to leaving us in the dark, in the shadows, in the murky, mucky mire. God, deal with us. Honor yourself, Spirit of God, for those who know you not as Lord and Savior, convict, convince them. And our God, we're going to thank you very, very much. May they receive you as their Lord and Savior. May we who have received you, God, awaken our heart to be a son. And if we exercise, you know, if we exercise being a son, we're going to exercise our wonderful relationship to you in order to be a son. God, thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen.